The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Frisch, Judge Bjorkman, Judge Bradfold, the Honorable Jennifer L. Frisch presiding.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see everybody. Today is June 24, 2020. We're in the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We have three cases on the calendar this morning, and we are here on our first matter. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
I see nodding. Good. I'm going to have the marshal call the first case, please.
This is A20-0097, Allstate Indemnity Company versus Twin Cities Diagnostic Center, LLC.
All right, everyone, I just have a few remarks before we begin. I'm going to ask you to mute your microphones if you are not speaking. Otherwise, we tend to get some feedback over the WebEx platform. The marshal is going to show you a running clock of the time. Please keep an eye on your time. Is that, I can't see it here. Can we see it? Oh, there we go. All right, so she'll show you the time. It needs to be lifted up just a little bit. There we go. Just keep an eye on the clock. If the time expires, we'll let you know. Please identify yourself and your client before you begin speaking. Each party has 15 minutes, and the appellant has 5 minutes for rebuttal. And with that, counsel, you may proceed.
Your Honor, before I begin, may I ask Ms. Hano a quick question on muting? I'm not seeing the same button I saw yesterday during the training session on the screen. So I don't want to cause feedback by not clicking on the right button when I'm finished. Oh, and that came up. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, Pam. All right. And with that, Your Honor, I'll introduce myself. I'm Rick Stemple. I'm the attorney for the plaintiffs who are the appellants in this matter, Allstate Indemnity Company and Allstate Insurance Company. And I'd like to begin. This is really a question of law in this case. I do not believe Mr. Bettina will dispute that the facts are not in dispute. This is Advanced Imaging Center. It's an MRI center owned by three Florida personal injury attorneys. It was located in Golden Valley. And we brought this declaratory judgment action seeking a ruling on whether that was permitted under the Minnesota Corporate Practice of Medicine Doctrine. And if I might, my brief addresses the really, it's a twofold stance. If there were no statute enacted in 2012 that became effective in August 1st, 2013, it's the appellant's position that the Minnesota Corporate Practice of Medicine Doctrine would still prohibit lay ownership of this advanced imaging center because of the very rationale set forth in the Granger versus Adson case and the Isles Wellness versus Progressive Northern case decided by the Minnesota Supreme Court. And as the court is aware, the public policy rationales were, we want oversight and supervision of licensed individuals to be by the licensed individuals. Our public policy is to have the best possible patient care in the healthcare fields and leave the medical decision-making to the licensed professionals.
Counsel?
Yes?
Can you tell me whether MRI technicians are required to be under the supervision of a licensed healthcare professional?
Well, my review of both the statute, the IAC accreditation requirements, I've also looked at the American College of Radiology, and they all require a medical director. So
is that in the record?
We should have attached the IAC guidelines as an addendum, and it's cited. Those guidelines are cited in our appellate brief. And if I might, this is a good point to discuss this, Your Honor. The legislature enacted Minnesota Statute 144-1225 in August of, well, actually it was in the 2012 session. It became law August 1st, 2013, because it was really a watershed. It required accreditation of MRI centers. It's entitled Advanced Diagnostic Imaging Services as far as the statute, but it's for MRI centers, and it for the first time required accreditation. And if you look at all three possible accreditation societies, their guidelines, they require a medical director.
But counsel, as I read the statute, it simply requires that a scanning center be accredited. Is there any dispute of fact that at all relevant times this center was in fact accredited?
It did have IAC accreditation. I don't know if you noticed, Your Honor, in our reply brief, until September 30th of 2019. So at the time Judge Regis decided the case, it was accredited. We just checked recently, and they've never reapplied for their accreditation. So that lapsed on September 30th of 2019. We also challenge how they got accredited, because we have never been apprised of any medical director. And our position is, under the IAC guidelines, they have to have a medical doctor designated as their medical director. And the only personnel they have here is an MRI tech, as far as the appellants are aware.
Mr. Stemple, I want to ask you a question about the public policy behind the corporate practice of medicine doctrine that you referenced earlier in your argument. It seems to me, in reading both the Isles Wellness cases, that there is some degree of skepticism about sort of the ongoing validity of that doctrine. How do the facts that you've alleged in this case implicate that public policy?
Having argued both of those at the Supreme Court, I understand your question, Your Honor. I faced some questions from Supreme Court justices about that, whether it was an outdated public policy rationale, but I submit to the court it's not. In this day and age, we're putting life and death decisions, serious treatment decisions, in the hands of people, and oftentimes they're relying on MRI scans, whether surgery is required, what the best medical decision making is for the course of treatment, what the treatment options should be. And if there's ever a time you would want a licensed professional to be in charge of that, it seems to me it's now. You have a new technology, newer, and it's utilized in a lot of different situations, not just car crashes, but other situations. And people make recommendations for possible surgeries or pain injections based on that. So seems to me it's not outdated. And the majority of states in the United States follow the corporate practice of medicine. It's because they still feel it's still viable.
Let me ask you some questions about the application of the corporate practice of medicine doctrine to the taking of an MRI. Is a referral from a licensed medical professional required in order for a person to get an MRI? Or can anyone walk in off the street and get an MRI without a referral?
I believe Minnesota still permits, it's always been the case to my knowledge, a person could actually walk in to a center and say, I want an MRI. And if they're willing to pay the fee, the center will scan them.
And notwithstanding the accreditation requirements of the IAC or any of the other agencies, does Minnesota law require that a technician who is taking the MRI picture be supervised by a licensed medical professional or otherwise licensed or certified?
Good question. In the sense that the statute requires accreditation for a center like this, yes, because they have to have a medical director who supervises the MRI techs. So by requiring accreditation, we inherently require a medical doctor to oversee the MRI tech.
Go ahead, counsel.
Okay, I didn't know if you had a follow-up question, Your Honor.
Not yet.
I'm sure there'll be more coming. So our position is that the public policy is that we want legitimate referrals for MRIs. We want accurate quality scans, and we want to eliminate incentives for referrals and put the patient's care in the hands of licensed professionals. And we think that's what Minnesota Statute 144.1225 requires. If you're not a hospital with an MRI, you have to be accredited. And that's been the case now for almost 7 years. So plenty of time. Twin Cities Diagnostic Center chose to be accredited, and they selected the IAC as their accreditation society, and would have had to make certain representations, and those include, as we briefed, both a medical director that has to be a physician and a medical physicist.
So are you suggesting, Council, that discovery is needed to find out if in fact these tasks, these roles are being performed?
I am, Your Honor, because if they made a misrepresentation of a material fact to the IAC to gain their accreditation, then it's a false or faulty accreditation. They're not even legitimate under the statute. And we know of no physician who's been designated as their medical director. They have a MRI tech, or did when in Golden Valley, and then they sent the imaging over this PAC system that I referenced in our brief down to one of two medical doctors in the Miami, Florida area, who then produced reports.
But counsel, what is the legal basis under Minnesota law to attack the propriety of the accreditation by an independent agency?
Well, Your Honor, to me, it's very simple, and I might be missing the mark here, but if I represent, I have an accredited advanced imaging center to satisfy the statutory requirement, but I gained it by false representations, then my accreditation fails. That's how I see it. And I'm not properly accredited because I do not have a medical director. And in effect, that's what the statute's requiring. And I'm not sure how much the court cares about the history, but having been involved in Isles Wellness and then the subsequent MRI cases, the late Dr. Wayne Dahl was one of the people that promulgated the statutory change, because even though he and I disagreed on certain things, he and I agreed a licensed doctor should be the owner of an MRI center. And
I don't disagree with you that there may be a remedy if there is a improper accreditation. I'm just asking you, what is the legal nature of that remedy in an action that's brought in district court in Minnesota? What's the legal basis for seeking that remedy here, as opposed to with the accrediting agency?
Good question, and that's why I pled misrepresentation of material fact, because it seems to me, anyhow, if they did not have a legitimate medical director, if nobody was in place or somebody who wasn't a proper qualified physician was named, then they gained accreditation in a false manner. And if they're not accredited, they cannot be compensated by the statute to be eligible.
Mr. Stempel, I'd like to ask you about that. As I read the district court's order, the district court dismissed your misrepresentation claim. And did you seek to have that reinstated in your opening brief?
In my brief to this court, Your Honor?
That's right. Yes, to this court.
Not specifically. I'm asking that that Judge Regis's dismissal of the case be reversed, and that we be able to proceed. And to respond to Judge Dovray's question, I think discovery is relevant and necessary to find out exactly what was represented to the IAC. They would not respond absent a subpoena or an authorization. We, of course, could not get an authorization. And to this day, I've never heard anybody named as the medical director for TCDC.
And do I understand correctly, Mr. Stempel, that medical director is a term that's used by the accrediting association and defined by them?
Correct.
It's not a statutory term, right?
If you let me look at my phone, I can double check the statute, but I don't know.
I didn't mean to take your time to do that. If you feel like doing that for your rebuttal, you sure can.
I'll look at it while Mr. Bettina is arguing to the court. So in sum, based on the history of CPMD in Minnesota, Granger was decided in 1933, Oz Wellness 1 in 2005, and then there's that line of MRI cases I cited where there's really not a clear decision on where MRI centers fell. And then after that, with Dr. Dahl and others presenting to the legislature, they enacted 144.1225. And I think at that point, it's clear you're putting medical professionals into the MRI center. They have to be there as a medical director, a medical physicist. So if you allow lay owners to oversee that or to be there, you're now violating the corporate practice of medicine doctrine. And that's our argument in sum, that either clearly under CPMD, their ownership fails, and most certainly since 2013, when the statute took effect, lay people cannot own an imaging center because they have to have a licensed professional on staff, and we do not permit that. And if you're not licensed in a healthcare field, you cannot form a 322 C corporation or 319 B. So it really limits the options, and those issues were all decided in Isles Wellness about, you know, professional corporations. But if I'm not licensed, if I'm only licensed as an attorney, I can't own a medical clinic, I can't own a chiropractic clinic, and I cannot own an imaging center. So I'm really finished, unless any of the court have another question for me.
Anything else from the panel? All right, thank you very much, Mr. Stemple. You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
You're welcome, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a moment, Mr. Bettina, while we reset the clock. Go ahead, counsel.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Brian Bettina. I represent respondents in this matter. There are a number of individual listed respondents, Carlos Fleites, Katrina Fleites, and Peter DiPrimo, along with Twin Cities Diagnostic Center, LLC. Appellants are essentially claiming two things. First, that respondents' lay ownership of an MRI center violates the corporate practice of medicine doctrine, irrespective of what services that MRI facility provides. Second, they're claiming that respondents are in violation of Minnesota Statute 144.1225, which is the accreditation statute. And I'm going to address each of those, but very briefly, as I think this is pretty straightforward, Your Honors. The trial court correctly identified, and a number of other courts agree, that the MRI process, has two components. It has the technical component of actually taking the image, and the professional component of interpreting the image. Now, appellants have
only- But how do we know that that's actually what's going on at TCDC? We don't have any record about what's going on there.
Well, and that's what we point to, what is in the record. And respondents have not alleged that TCDC does anything but take the image. They've only alleged that they do the technical component.
But they do allege in paragraph 5 of the amended complaint that TCDC is engaged in the practice of healing.
And
then in your brief, you do indicate that whether TCDC is engaged in the practice of healing depends on what TCDC does. And we don't know what TCDC does, correct?
Well, I think we do in everything that has been argued to this point. I can pull up paragraph 5 of the amended complaint, but it's never been argued by Mr. Stemple, and I don't believe it is clear from the complaint that they're claiming that TCDC does the professional component. In fact, at oral argument at the trial court below, the court specifically set out in its opening, asked those questions and asked whether or not TCDC was analyzing or interpreting or doing anything of that professional component. Mr. Stemple acknowledged clearly that no, that TCDC sends those images off to, his allegations are that he sends them off, that they send them off to independent contractors down in Florida who does the professional component.
Mr. Bettina, the cases you cite, and I think the ones we've seen with respect to MRI scanning are all, you know, summary judgment level cases. I mean, here we have, you know, we have notice pleading in Minnesota. We have a complaint that does make allegations that clearly says this is the, you know, this is the corporate practice of medicine. This is, you know, they are engaged in the healing art, you know, numerous cites to Isles Wellness. I mean, how is that not enough to at least get to discovery on the question of what is really going on at TCDC and is there medical supervision or is that even required?
Well, Your Honor, two kind of responses to that. First, I think appellants actually do know what's going on there. And that is because my clients were accredited. They can't be accredited without a medical director on site. But secondly, appellants have never argued they needed discovery and have not pled any issues related to that. So there was never an argument at the district court that said, hey, we need to do discovery. We need to determine whether or not any of this is true. And I believe that is because it is such a clear-cut issue. Either you're accredited or you're not. And to try
are,
and
are you in, accredited?
I'm sorry?
Is TCDC currently accredited?
They are currently not. And that is because they're no longer in business. They're not operating. They're still a organized entity and in good standing with the Secretary of State. But for financial reasons, they just ended up having to shut the doors. But they were absolutely accredited. They had a medical director on site. The IAC accreditation process is very rigorous. They could not have gotten accredited without a medical director. But that goes into all these issues.
Is it the case that there was, at the time of all of the contested billings, that TCDC was accredited?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I do not believe that's in dispute either. This kind of Attorney Stemple has been involved in, and he's somewhat of an expert, if you will, on these cases. He's been involved in a lot of these decisions, and unfortunately, most of these decisions have not gone the way he'd like. They are now on appeal, and in their reply, what I gather is arguing that this new enactment of Statute 144.1225, the accreditation statute, that somehow now makes it impossible for lay people to own an MRI facility, even if they only do the technical component. And this argument by Mr. Stemple is now being raised because all of the other arguments that these insurance companies have tried to make disputing that issue have not been successful. The two most recent federal court decisions that we cited in our brief, I believe they're at pages 9 and 10, the State Farm versus Mobile Diagnostic Image and the Illinois Farmers Insurance Company versus Mobile Diagnostic Imaging, were both decided in 2014. Each of those, and that was after the statute.
Are they both summary judgment cases?
I'm sorry?
Are they both summary judgment cases?
To my knowledge, yes. I believe they were. But both of those decisions were rendered after the enactment of the statute, and that statute was never brought up in either one of those cases. It's only now being brought up on appeal because they know that under the current case law, what their argument is, it simply doesn't hold water because of the distinction between the two components of an MRI process.
Can I ask you about the statute? In subdivision 2, I'm talking about 144.1225 subdivision 2.
Yes, Your Honor.
part two talks about the required accreditation standards. And yes. It indicates that all accreditation standards under this section must include, and then little two says, standards for quality control and routine performance monitoring by a medical physicist. Do you agree that that statute, through the required accreditation standards, requires an MRI technician to undergo routine performance monitoring by a medical professional?
As it relates directly to just a technician, I think in order to be accredited by the IAC, yes, that would require an on-site medical director and a medical physicist. I think that's, yes, the answer to your question. Now, that doesn't change, though, the fact that TCDC is not doing the professional component. There would be no argument from me if they were interpreting or analyzing the MRI scans that they'd be in violation of that corporate practice of medicine doctrine by owning this facility. But the case law has said, and the courts have routinely agreed, that the legislature did not intend to bar that practice. And as long as they're only doing the technical component of the statute, the corporate practice of medicine doctrine. And that the courts cite to statute 144.565, which requires all diagnostic imaging facilities to disclose the names of all physicians with a financial interest and, quote, all other individuals with a 10% or greater financial interest in the facility. They would not require that if lay persons could not own or have a financial interest in a diagnostic image facility. So, we kind of jumped into my second point there, which was the application of the accreditation statute and Mr. Semple's argument that that effectively eliminates the ability for lay people to own a MRI facility. I think the case law is fairly clear. We would urge the court to follow what the federal courts have said, and those decisions have come down after the enactment of the accreditation statute. They've discussed and indicated that they believe that's exactly how the Minnesota Supreme Court would rule on the issue. And we would urge this court to do just that. Unless there are any other questions, I can yield my time, but happy to answer anything you may have.
Thank you. Anything else from the panel? All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Bettina.
Thank you.
Mr. Semple, one moment while we reset the clock.
Absolutely.
All right, go ahead, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate Mr. Bettina saying I'm somewhat of an expert in this area. I guess I have been involved in a lot of these cases, Your Honor, and on some of them I've taken it on the chin, but that's part of the practice of law. The law is a living thing, it evolves, and sometimes a position isn't favored initially. I think in this case, I'd like to address what Mr. Bettina said by pointing out this distinction between professional component and technical component existed prior to the statute being enacted by the Minnesota legislature. Those cases were all decided before the legislature enacted 144.1225. And even then, when they talked about it, there was a lack of clarity on did corporate practice of medicine really apply or not. And I would submit to this court that since the statutory enactment, the professional component, technical component distinction is obsolete. And here's why. I think you touched on it, Your Honor. If in subdivision 2 of 1225. The statute makes it clear the accreditation standards have to require both a medical director and a medical physicist. Being involved in these cases, I've learned the MRI machines are very technical. They need regular calibration. They need service. They need a lot of things. And you don't just put them in the hands of somebody like me that I'm lucky to be on this oral argument with the court. And it's probably because of the training session. You have to have professionals. And by requiring a medical director and a medical physicist, the legislature has now taken out that distinction, in my opinion, by saying we're going to have medical professionals there. And as soon as they did that, and it became law on August 1st of 2013, you can no longer have lay ownership. Because
this is following up on a question I think that Judge Frisch asked earlier. The thing I struggle with about your statutory claim is whether the failure to have proper, I mean, there's no question this entity had accreditation. So it seems to me that language of the statute doesn't afford your client the relief of not having to pay for the scans. It seems to me that whether the entity was properly accredited is an issue for the state, isn't it? Why am I wrong?
Well, I hate to tell you you're wrong, Your Honor, especially this early in the day, but I would have to respectfully disagree with you. If they've made false representations to the IAC to get accreditation so they could operate and then thereby bill my clients, who then paid in reliance on their representations, they were properly structured according to the statute, I think my clients do have a legitimate inquiry into whether misrepresentations of material fact were made to gain that accreditation. And to leave it to the state alone, I have to be frank, I don't know that anything would happen, not in the short term. And I think the fact that they operated, they billed Allstate a lot of money, we were not permitted to do discovery. We don't know what went on behind the scenes at TCDC. To answer your question, we don't know who they claimed or what referral relationships they had, because this was case was dismissed on a motion to dismiss. So I guess that's my response to your question.
Did you argue in the district court that Rule 12 dismissal was inappropriate because discovery needed to be conducted?
My recollection is I did. I argued that we needed to know about who their medical director was in support of the count for misrepresentation of material fact. And I think it's necessary, Your Honor. If the proper remedy is to have discovery, and then if Mr. Bettina thinks he can prevail on summary judgment, have a motion for summary judgment. But we really lack the facts necessary to how they gained the accreditation and how the operation actually functioned. So we can test that it's legitimate. That was the reason I put that count in there. So I really have nothing further to say. I'm down to less than 30 seconds, but if any of your honors have a question for me, I'm happy to respond.
Anything else from the panel? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, counsel. Really appreciate your cooperation and willingness to participate in this oral argument via WebEx under these strange and challenging circumstances. This matter was well argued and well briefed. We appreciate it. We'll take the matter under advisement and issue an order in due course. We will take a recess.